you to, there's these books in the pew racks. They're called Bibles. I'm going to invite you to open them, okay? Open it up to the Gospel of Luke, the 11th chapter. And in these Bibles, it's found on page 947. We're going to go through a little bit, verse by verse. So 947 is the page number for Luke chapter 11. The Lord's Prayer. How many of you learned the Lord's Prayer when you were little? Maybe you grew up hearing it, right? Some maybe heard different versions of it. And some of us have defended which one is the right version, right? How many of you grew up with trespasses? That's kind of a weird question to say now that I just said it out loud. How many of you grew up with trespasses? As the version in the Lord's Prayer is what I meant. that was pretty common. How many of you grew up with in the version of the Lord's Prayer where it says sins? Not so much. How many of you debts? Yeah, that's what I. That's one that I grew up at Grandpa and Grandma Ticroni's house was debts and debtors, and then at Grandpa and Grandma Johnson's house it was trespasses. And as I grew up, I preferred sins, of course. But I would like us to go back to the Gospel of Luke, where this kind of all has begun. And we're told that Jesus, at a certain place, we're not told a particular place, we're not told a name or anything like that, we're just a certain place, that after Jesus prayed, one of his disciples came up to him and says, "Master, will you teach us to pray the way John taught his disciples to pray?" Now, I'm not exactly sure how John taught his disciples to pray, but we have here how Jesus responds to that question. So Jesus responds to the question, "Teach us." Actually, not question, but to that demand, teach us to pray. So Jesus says, when you pray, say this, Father. I'll just stop there. Father. Father of who? Whose father? Whose father is Jesus referring to here? Huh? Our father? Oh, Holy Shepherd's father. All of our Father, right? The one who created us. Is that fair? So, there's nobody that falls outside of the our Father, right? Everybody. We're talking to this Father, the one who has created all life, all human beings. Father. This is who we're supposed to address when we are praying. When Jesus teaches us how to pray, say, Father, know who you're talking with, right? It is the one who has created all life. The one who has created you and me and all people for all time. This is the one we're speaking with. All right, so, Father, hallowed be your name. When's the last time you used the word hallowed outside of the Lord's Prayer? Yeah, and I have never done that before either. But here's this word, hallowed. And it only happens a couple times in the Bible. What does hallowed mean? Say that again. Sacred. Sacred? Okay, sacred. What else? Holy. Somebody else have some?
Revered.
Very good. You know what's interesting about this, hallowed, in the Greek? It's not an adjective. It's not a describer. It's actually a verb. Father, make holy your name. Make sacred your name. Make your name revered throughout all the world. This is how Jesus is teaching us to pray. You talk to the one who has created all, and you say, make your name holy throughout all the universe, in all life. Make your name known as sacred above all other names in the world. Wow. I don't know about you, but I just learned this week, that hallowed is a verb. And it made me start to look at this prayer maybe in a new way. And it challenged me a little bit, in a good way too. So, teach us to pray. Well, this is what you say, Jesus says. Father, be mindful of you are talking with the one that has created all of us. Now you say to this God, make your name holy. Make your name sacred. Bring your name up to the sacredness into the world so all will know it. Where do I fit in? I don't know about you, but I'm pretty good at when I think about praying, I was ready for Jesus to say, make sure you get your to-do list for God all set up and let God know what God is supposed to do for you, right? How many of you have prayers like that? I do. And I think we're invited to bring those things to God. So God, this is what I'm struggling with. So could you help me with this? I'm asking you for this, okay? Good prayers. And yet when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray, Jesus doesn't talk anything about your to-do list or my to-do list. This is all about God. You're addressing the Creator of all, and you're asking for God's name to be known, to be made known throughout the universe. God's name. This is a prayer about God. And that puts me in a different relationship with God as Jesus teaches me to pray. Basically, Jesus is telling me right now in this first couple of lines, this prayer is about God. You want to know how to pray? First, you know that this is going to be about God. So then it continues. Jesus says, your kingdom come. Again, not my kingdom, not Michael's kingdom, but God, creator of all, the one that I'm asking for you to make your name holy in all the universe and all time and all places, let your name be sacred and known amongst all. Let your kingdom come. Now, kingdom, that's not necessarily a term that we use very often in our society. And often when we do, it's often referred to as a place, a kingdom. Right now there's a movie out, Lion King, and there's a place, see all this? This is your kingdom, right? There's a place. But that's not what Jesus is teaching them. It's not about place at all. This God that you are referring to, this God of all, this creator of all, the one you're asking to make his name holy, you're asking for that God's kingdom, that's God's reign, God's power, God's authority to come into being. This is all about God. Let your kingdom, let your reign, let your authority be done. This is how Jesus is teaching us to pray. Now, give us each day our daily bread. I'm finally in this. Give us our daily bread. Who's our? Who's us? Give us. Who is us? Everybody spoke at once, and that's beautiful, but I need one. What did you? Mankind, all humankind. Agree? I'm with you. This is all. This is, again, not just about individual Michael. This is about all. And so Jesus is teaching us to be mindful that this prayer, when we learn to pray, this is going to be about God, God's authority, and God's name, and that God will feed all. Give us our daily bread. So, this is how it all begins. And then forgive us our sins. Okay? Forgive us our sins. Yes. Because up till this point, I've been going, wait, where do I fit in? Because I'm self-centered. Right? Where do I fit in? So forgive me. But then this next part. For we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. How are we doing? You know what that phrase actually means? God, forgive us the same way we are forgiving others. Again, I fall short. But see, when we are being taught how to pray by Jesus, we are to put God first, God's names first, God's authority first. And then we are seeking out the well-being of all of God's creation and all God's people. And we are called to participate in God's reign, in God's authority, in God's kingdom, by forgiving. And we're asking God to forgive us the same way that we are forgiving others. This is how we're being taught to pray. And do not bring us to the time of trial. Because on my own, I can't. I can't withstand those trials unless I know you are with me. Unless this prayer is going to be about you, I can't stand alone. This is how Jesus teaches us to pray. First and foremost, it's about God. God's name, God's power, God's authority, God's kingdom, God's people, God's creation. This is about God. I had a mentor, his name was Bruce, and we'd go to text study on Thursday afternoons with a bunch of pastors, and we would be wrestling with the text, you know? We would be wrestling with the text, and we'd be going at it for about an hour. And Bruce would sit quietly and watching and observing, because that's what he did very well. And we'd be wrestling with this text, trying to figure out, okay, what does this mean? And how are we supposed to proclaim it to the audience, to the congregations that we are called to share this with? And we'd be sitting there and going on and on and on. And then at the very end, about 58 minutes into this hour, Bruce would then raise his hand and go, "So it's not about God?" And then, of course, we'd all go, "Oh, yeah, God, that's right. This is about God, isn't it?" Because often, I don't know about you, but often my life gets centered right here. And that's what I know best. And this is what I desire the best for, is this first and foremost. And this prayer teaches me something completely different. And then Jesus goes on and tells these stories, which are very interesting. And we're told about the story of this person, this friend, that comes to a neighbor because this friend had friends show up at their house at the last minute, and they unexpected, okay? They dropped in, and the friend doesn't have anything to give them. And that's a big deal. That's a big deal, especially in the culture that Jesus is in. Hospitality is a primary value. You have somebody come to your house and you will provide for them. That's just a big deal. And now this friend has nothing. So he goes to a neighbor and knocks on the door. "Hey, Hey! It's the middle of the night. Hey! People can hear. Hey! What? I just had some people show up, and I didn't know that they were showing up. I have nothing to give them. And then from the inside the house, you hear, hey, you know, it's midnight. We're all in bed. The kids are in bed. I'm in bed. Just go. Hey! Hey! I know. I messed up. I should have had some. I know I messed up. Can you help me, please? And everybody can hear. In some texts, that is because of their perseverance. Because of their perseverance, this neighbor will respond. But that word perseverance actually can be translated as because of their shamelessness, which I actually prefer. That shame. Hey, I know I messed up. I know I should have had things on hand, but I don't. I messed up, and I need your help. And you know, it doesn't matter who hears this. You're willing to take on that shame and proclaim it to the world. I messed up. This is what Jesus is teaching us. And then it goes on to say, you know, not because of his persistence, but it's his shamelessness. Not because he's a friend, but because of his shamelessness. I get it. I know you messed up. Here, I'll help you. And then this knock, and the door will be open. Seek, and you will find. Ask, and it'll be given. I'm going, all right, now I'm on board. Ask, and it'll be given. I know what I'm asking for. Red bicycle. Red bicycle. When I was a kid, I wanted a red bicycle. I prayed every night for a red bicycle. Guess what I got? A red bicycle. Probably the worst thing for my prayer life I could have ever gotten. But it was my parents who were listening. You know, would you give them a scorpion? Would you give them a snake instead? No, I'll give them because I love them. But I want to make clear that, again, this being reminded of how Jesus teaches us to pray at the very beginning, what is this supposed to be about? God. God first and foremost. God's name first and foremost. God's authority, kingdom, reign first and foremost. God's people all being taken care of first and foremost. So when we are ready to ask for things, that's where I'm at. And what I ask for will not be self-centered if that is what I have first and foremost. Yeah, Jesus is teaching us a lot. Now, here's my question for us to ponder today. What would it be like if we not only recited this prayer with maybe some of this new understanding, or maybe it's not new, maybe you're being reminded, yeah, I knew that already. That's fantastic. My question is still the same. What would it look like if we don't look at the Lord's Prayer as something that we recite, but we look at it as the way we live? What would it be like if we lived the Lord's Prayer? What would it be like if we lived our daily lives knowing that God is first and foremost? That God's name, authority, God's people, God's creation, first and foremost. It's God's, God's, God's. Now, start asking from that relationship. What would our lives look like if we lived the Lord's Prayer? And maybe, just maybe, this is not in the Bible, but other than we're told at the very beginning, at a certain place, Jesus was praying. Why is it just so ambiguous? Why don't we know it was precisely at this place? In other places in Luke, we're told precisely where they're at. But this time we're told at a certain place. Is it possible that it is a certain place because Jesus wasn't praying just in a particular place? Jesus was praying everywhere Jesus went. And is it possible that this prayer wasn't something that Jesus recited or did? It is something that he lived. That's why it's just a certain place, because Jesus was like this everywhere Jesus went. I'd like to suggest that Jesus lived the Lord's Prayer and is teaching us to do the same. So, sisters and brothers in Christ, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, may we hear Jesus' invitation into a life that looks different, maybe, than the life that we live right now. A life that is focused on God, first and foremost, God's name, first and foremost, God's authority, God's kingdom, God's people, first and foremost. May we live this prayer and know the gift that it is. Amen.